Well, I was impressed last November when, over the Thanksgiving break, we traveled out to Hollywood, California. For there I learned the story about how Hollywood stars became stars. Apparently, at one time, Hollywood, well, it really wasn't much of anything to speak of, but especially not for actors. Landlords who were renting their apartments and hotel rooms in the early part of the 20th century posted the following signs on their properties: no dogs, and then right beneath that, no actors, in that order. A real statement about how popular actors were at the very beginning of the last century. Well, then an early movie pioneer by the name of Carl Lomeli, one of the original founders of Universal Studios, in a bid to make going to the movies a pastime that people would actually enjoy, decided to make actors, some individuals, again, who were once lower than dogs, he decided to make them larger than life. When Lomeli thought about what kind of image he could associate with struggling actors to make them larger than life, he picked the image of the star. Why? Because it was beautiful and ethereal and always somewhat out of reach. Thus, the idea of the Hollywood star was born. Hollywood image makers and promotional agents planted rumors. They selectively released real or fictitious biographical information to the press and used other gimmicks to create glamorous personas for actors. Publicists thus created the enduring images and public perceptions of screen legends such as Judy Garland, Rock Hudson, Marilyn Monroe, and Grace Kelly. The development of this star system made fame something that could be fabricated purposely by the new masters of the machine of glory. The saying is true: in Hollywood, all is an illusion. Hollywood stars supposedly live lives that are larger than the rest of us. Their lives are, you know, somewhat mysterious, living in large mansions and gated communities with personal bodyguards that surround them 24/7. For the most part, they are inaccessible to the rest of us mere mortals. Stars can be admired from a distance, but we can never, ever touch them. Now, exceptions to that do occur. For example, when Bob Hope would entertain all of our troops overseas at Christmas time, yes, he was a star, but he made himself accessible to the everyday heroes of our U.S. Armed Forces. Now, all of us have a favorite movie star, don't we? Be it Liz Taylor or Richard Burton or Humphrey Bogart or Katharine Hepburn, Jimmy Stewart, love him and It's a Wonderful Life, James Fonda, Jane Fonda, Meryl Streep, Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, and for the younger ones amongst us, Daniel Radcliffe or Jennifer Lawrence. Now, one of my favorite actors was Victor Mature. How many of you liked Victor Mature? Yeah, you're dating yourself, you know, if you like Victor Mature as an actor. And I never knew that he was born in Louisville. Never knew that. And he is buried there, even today. Now, one of my favorite movies that he acted in is called The Robe. How many of you have ever seen The Robe? Wonderful movie starring Richard Burton and Gene Simmons. Now, Mature reportedly stated he was successful in biblical epics because he could, quote, make with the holy look. Yeah. So we have stars to watch. But there is also royalty to follow, isn't there? As a youth, I remember once being in London. My childhood home was only 10 miles outside of the city. And during that particular visit, I can remember catching a fleeting glimpse of Queen Elizabeth as she exited Buckingham Palace in her royal carriage. She was probably about, 40 years old at the time, and now I'm dating myself. But what a sight that was for a young little guy. Now, fast forward somewhat, shortly before Janet and I were married in the mid-80s, it was Charles and Diana who were all the rage, but especially Diana because she was considered to be what? The people's princess, yes. Now, years later, it is her son William and his wife, Princess Kate, who have captured everyone's imagination. You know you've obtained star or royalty status when the name that you are known by is only your first name, right? Like Madonna or J-Lo. Or like royals who only use their first name when signing documents. Queen Elizabeth uses Elizabeth R. or Elizabeth Regina for the Latin queen. Now, sometimes I think it would be, really wonderful to be a star or to be a royal. But then I think, maybe not so much, You can't really go to the gym or the supermarket without someone taking those less than glamorous pictures of you in your hoodie and your sweats, And when I come back from the dead, I want to be a Kardashian. Now, don't laugh, because I genuinely do not know what these people do for the common good, except making a living from our own lame curiosity about their superficial lives. I just, what a deal. Following the analogy of the stars and astronomy, I think I would simply call the Kardashians black holes, But tonight, I am inviting you and I to become stargazers, not of the tabloid kind, and royal watchers, not of the palace type. I am inviting you to follow the signs that lead you to the cradle of the one who is neither rich nor famous, nor at his birth was he particularly well known. For we are not following a star that leads us to a Beverly Hills mansion, as beautiful as they are. We are not seeking a royal who is born in a palace to a princess. Tonight we journey with the three wise men, or the Magi, the Magoi in the Greek. Melchior, a Persian scholar, and Caspar, an Indian scholar, and Balthazar, an Arabian scholar. Both they and we are paparazzi of a different kind. We are watching for and paying homage to the one who changes and transforms us, not by giving us his autograph, or knighting us on the shoulder with his royal scepter. We are watching for the one whose grandeur is found in simplicity, whose entourage is that of cows and donkeys and oxen, whose sheets are not made from mandarin silk, but the scratchy straw cut by the farmer's hand. But make no mistake, he is a star, and that's why we're here. He is a royal. Psalm 72:11 says, "May all kings come and fall down before him." And that's exactly what they did. The text says in verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Be overjoyed tonight, my friends. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down. These kings bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. For over 2,000 years, he and he alone has been the people's prince. Completely accessible to us, never hidden, always reaching out to a humanity that is stumbling around in its own darkness. Tonight, with the Magi, who are wise because they can continually search the heavens for his coming, we bring gold to acknowledge his royalty. We bring frankincense to acknowledge his deity, and myrrh, an embalming oil, as a symbol of his death and his burial. And what is it that this star, this royal, gives to us for our adoration and our worship of him tonight? He gives us his peace, his shalom. Wherever there is chaos and confusion, we seek for his shalom. He gives us certainty in a turbulent and uncertain, a very uncertain world. He gives to us a purpose to replace the dull ache of a postmodern age that has lost its center and its overarching meta-narrative. He gives to us friends and understanding companions when we have lost our way and personal grief seems to overtake us. He gives us fullness of life when there is emptiness inside and a nagging longing that there should be more to life, you know, than just eating and sleeping and working. There's got to be more. What this star, this royal, gives is the hand of a friend who dries our teary eyes and an embrace that holds us tight when all is falling apart around us. He gives us a spring when the darkness of winter refuses to give way but must relent to the new growth burgeoning beneath its cold white blanket. And above all, he gives us the greatest gift that every single human being wants and needs. He gives to us the gift of love found in himself. Without his radiant love shining forth this night from his wonderful infant face, we have nothing. But with his love, we can give up searching and searching and searching endlessly. The guidance that the Star of Bethlehem once offered these wise men has not left us. He still guides, even on this sacred and holy night. For we have found the one whom the prophets have foretold. Every journey must have an end. And for us here tonight, it ends at his sacred crib, where salvation for every mistake and every injury and hurt is received and forgiven, where light is embraced, where truth is unfurled, and where justice is inaugurated. We are here because over 2,000 years ago, three men, three kings in their own right, boldly journeyed over many seas, over mountains, and across deserts to worship the one who would change the human heart forever. They never gave up searching until they touched the very face of God. And neither will we. May your heart and life forever be changed by the babe that we now adore.